Yo, woke as fuck fam, what is going on? Welcome back to the next episode of Primal Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour, here with your host, Chris Story, 2 times a week, every week, which, to be honest with you, I haven't really been keeping up with as of late, because guys, I've been working my fucking ass off trying to get the next phase of Primal Alchemy up and running. I've got some really big plans, guys, really big plans for the next few months with this brand. A lot of new products, a lot of innovative next level shit to come out through the Primal Alchemy brand, as well as a few little things that I think are really going to make this brand sort of stand apart from the rest of the crowd within the biohacking, human optimization, health and fitness industry. So again, I don't want to say too much now. Everyone that follows me on Instagram, Primal Alchemy UK, has got a little bit of a preview into some of the shit that I've got lined up, but I just want everyone who's listening to this to know, keep your eyes peeled. There is some big news coming very soon, and I'm really excited, guys, really excited to start to be able to have a brand that represents my grand vision that was shown to me through that out-of-body experience I had in Nepal a few years back when I created Primal Alchemy, and it's starting to come together. It's taking some work, taking some time, but we're getting there. Anyway, bit of a ramble then, totally off on a tangent compared to what I was actually meant to say, which is, as always, my massive thanks for the continuous love and support. Continuous, and I really do mean it. Last episode, episode 46 with Ravi Chanda, just to check back in, you guys loved that. Had a lot of feedback from you, and that was amazing, because the type of shit that me and Ravi were talking about, that's my bread and butter, you know. That's the type of shit that I geek out on. That's whew. And to have a response as I have from you guys, that meant the world, because as you know, as you've probably heard, if you're listening to this podcast and you've listened to all the episodes beforehand, I can go off on a few little rants here and there. But then, you know, I always try to tone it down a little bit because of the guest on the other side. They're the guest. They need to be doing the talking. And they have their specialties. They have their interests. But it's very rare that I get someone on that is completely on level with myself concerning the depths of the woo-woo that we like to swim in the waters of. So yes, it was amazing, and thank you for all of the kind words back. And you've probably reached out to Ravi as well, and I'm sure he's very appreciative. So as always, guys, please leave me a review on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts. I've seen what people are doing now. I've seen that you've give me a rating of like a 5-star rating, which is great. That's better than nothing, so thank you. But can you just leave me a few words? Like, the reviews actually do have a massive part to play in increasing the visibility of the podcast on the suggestion charts and all of that type of shit. So just leave me something, even if it's like a sentence, that would be great. So after this, please head over to Apple Podcasts, iTunes, leave me a review. Or you can just reach out to me on Instagram, and that would be great as well. Just let me know that you're enjoying the content, guys. That's all. That's all I ask. And in return, I'll give you a massive thank you with a exclusive 10% discount code, REDPILL. That's the code REDPILL that when used on primalalchemy.co.uk, you'll get 10% off anything within your shopping basket at the time of purchase. So now, I'm not going to go on too much about this, guys, but if this is the first time that you've been introduced to the Primal Alchemy brand, then check the website out. Check out our Retruvian Protein. That's our flagship organic whey protein superfood blend, forged with adaptogenic, nootropic, prebiotic herbs, superfoods from around the world, all in one cohesive package. Right for you. Free UK delivery, discounted worldwide shipping. What more could you ask for? But again, if you're not on the market for a health supplement, then we also have our Ancestral Potential Coaching Programs. And this is your chance to work one-to-one with myself. If you're looking for an exercise plan, I'll create you a bespoke fitness program that will put you on some demigod level shit. I'm talking about kettlebells, weighted calisthenics, powerlifting, HIIT training, all the types of unconventional, unorthodox training that you guys may have seen me on Instagram training regularly. I will put you through the ropes and make you superhuman. If you're not in the market though for a fitness plan, then hey, we have our Quantum Fuel Nutrition, we have our Enlightened Biohacking plans, and our flagship plan in the whole package is our Self-Mastery Ascension Mentorship Program. So this is everything thrown into one. This is the fitness, the nutrition, the biohacking, and personal contact with myself, where every day I'll be in contact with you, making sure that you're getting shit done in order to achieve and manifest your dreams and goals. All right, other than that, moving on to today's episode. So I think the way that works best, just through my bit of feedback, is that I leave the episode description to the beginning of the episode. Yeah, I am actually going to do that from that one. I keep saying that every episode, but I'm definitely going to do it this now. So let's just kick today's episode off. Episode 47 with Lucas Owen. Hope you enjoy, guys. Morpheus, tell these fools what's up.
You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
As above, so below, what lies without resides within. Time for growth to begin. Mental, physical, and spiritual. We find balance with all three as we focus on totality. The whole, not the half. This is for those on a spiritual path. Looking for the clues to the answers of life. But the truth ain't always nice, so leave your ego at the door. Let your inner lion roar and your spirit soar. As we go deep down to the molecular level, tap into the body with some yogic breath. Throw in some calisthenics for a true strength test. Like the shamans of old, we use nature to heal. With a little bit of DMT to reveal. This whole life journey is a little surreal. And your mind needs a leader, not a follower in life. Let your mind be the master and you pay a hefty price. This next 60 minutes is about self-mastery. It's not an easy path and it's a lifelong journey. But we up to empower with this red pill initiation hour. With this red pill initiation hour, brought to you by Primal Okami.
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Three, two, one. Oh shit, guys, we're back. Episode 47. Episode 47, guys. Odin would be proud indeed. I'm not fucking around dishing out these episodes two times a week, once a week. That's what we're going for. So, yeah, guys, today we're going to be going deep down the rabbit hole of nutrition. We're going to be tying things up a little bit. The past few episodes, I know, have been quite out there, quite esoteric. So this one, we're going to bring it back, get into the bread and butter of myself, which is nutrition. Excuse the pun, but yeah, we've got a real special guest on today. Someone who, again, on Instagram, I've been following for a while. He knows his shit, and he is going to explode very soon. I wouldn't be surprised by the time that this podcast is released from now when we're recording that he's probably double or trebled his following count on Instagram, because literally the content that he supplies is on some next level. And yeah, it's great to finally have him on. So I just want to give a massive welcome to Mr. Lucas Owen. Lucas, thanks for coming on, brother.
Thanks for that intro, Chris. Yeah, that's really nice of you. Yeah, I'm really excited to be here and see what I can offer and what sort of value I can contribute. And yeah, just share my story into like biohacking. And as you mentioned, yeah, like I'm a bit of a nerd. Like, I spend a lot of time on PubMed researching, and like I've had to cap myself. I've had to set a limit as to how many hours I can spend on PubMed, because otherwise I won't get my assessments done at university.
Yeah, man, that's a rabbit hole on PubMed, especially when you've got the like a university
you've got the university database access where you can just go into all these different journal databases. Like, I used to geek the fuck out at university. Totally not doing the work I was supposed to, but just having access to those journals and those databases is fucking insane. Like, the amount of research you can literally just stuff into hours and hours every night. But only fellow geeks would understand that, man. Other people would be listening like, the fuck, man, get a life, bro. But yeah, Lucas, man, just to start things off, dude, for everyone who's not familiar with yourself, obviously you run the page Ergogenic Health on Instagram. So some may be familiar with you from there, but if anyone is brand new to you, can you give us a little bit of a rundown on who you are, what you're about, how you've got to where you are to today? And yeah, we're just really shoot the shit from there.
Yeah, sure, man. So I was very interested and fascinated with how to manipulate my physiology from a really young age. I just was always, I liked seeing different versions of myself. And I was always experimenting from the age of like 16. I was playing soccer semi-professionally. So that sort of got me into always monitoring and auditing my own performance, which then led me on to studying exercise science. So I did a year and a half of that degree and then transferred over from that into naturopathy, which is what I'm doing now. So I'm a third year student there and just love growing, love developing. And I really do believe that I've got a lot to offer people, and I just feel like I don't like holding knowledge from people. I want to share it. Like, I really just want to, my mission is to make people better in whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I just love to help people be their best version of themselves. Like, whenever I get feedback from people saying, oh, you've helped me out, or you've improved my performance in the gym, or I feel more focused at work. Like, for me, it's so fulfilling, and it gives me like a sense of purpose. You know, it's super motivating. It's definitely one of my driving, motivating factors. Yeah.
What was the sort of catalyst for you, man, to make this change from sports science to what you're doing now?
Yeah. Well, I was fortunate enough to get offered a position into a startup. So I, there was a company in Melbourne which they were selling nootropic products. And I literally just messaged the founder asking if I could catch up with him. And then he basically, came on board just as an ambassador. And then because I was already researching nootropics like crazy, I had the privilege of actually formulating their first natural nootropic, which was called Flow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there was an ingredient that I was the first person to bring this ingredient into the Australian market. It was Theacrine. You're probably familiar with that one.
Say that one again.
Theacrine.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was a game changer because obviously like it outperforms caffeine in terms of its like mental energy and alertness without the crash and zero tolerance. So that was like that was a really pivotal point in that company. So that's pretty much how it segued into sort of like biohacking with like transferring over from exercise science into my degree now, because it's just way more aligned with mm-hmm. the way I was already living my life.
Yeah, it's fair, man. It's to be fair, man, that's like one of the things that I wish I did. Like, not obviously my path has led me to where I am to today, but while I was at university and I was doing my sports science degree, like the exercise physiology degree, there was always a part of me like, man, I could, like, my interests are a lot more in alignment with becoming like a naturopathic doctor. Like, I could smash that, but we just haven't got many institutions that offer that that path here in the UK. I think there's maybe a few, and I don't think it's their national governed institutions in terms of being like an actual university. I think they're more like private institutions, and then because of that, obviously the funding's different and there's a lot of other complications that are kind of thrown into the mix. But very interesting, man. I would have I really would have loved to pursue that at a younger age and maybe see where it takes me from there. But as you know, everything happens for a reason, man. So we've all come to similar conclusions. And yeah, just so how many years you got left on the program?
I've got this year and then next year. So then, yeah, I'll be fully qualified as a naturopath.
Do you have to go on like work placement and do shadowing and everything as well?
I've already done my 25 hours just with like a local practitioner.
Nice.
Yeah, and then like this year we're like in-house, so like we're within the university observing other students. So yeah.
And then what's the plan after that? Are you going to be going self-employed? You're going to be like, because I know you got your website coming out soon, and are you going to just
website's
doing
live?
Website's live, mate. I was looking on your Instagram a few days ago, and it was only a few posts ago that you said that the website was not even up yet. So that's cool, man. That's great. We'll talk about that later on if you want, and make sure we get some traffic to it. And it's interesting because I remember when we first started talking, we were saying, trying to get you on. This was like, for everyone that's listening, this was like a few months back, and we just couldn't get a time nailed down. And then you're like, you know what, man, I think it would be best if we can get it once my website's live. And I was like, yeah, how long is that going to be? And you're like, probably like a few months. And I was just like, yeah, man, that's a bit of a distance, but okay, man, I'll get back in touch with you soon. And shit, here we are, man. Time's breezed by, and it's great to finally have you on here. So anyway, Lucas, man, I know that you're one of your main gigs is the whole nootropic realm. So why don't we just jump straight into that and have a little bit of a discussion on what your sort of what do you prefer, man? Do you prefer that we go through natural nootropic, more herbal based, or do you want to go for like non-herbal, more sort of pharmacological nootropics? What's your sort of preference? I'm guessing being a naturopathic doctor in training, you're probably going to be wanting to go down the herbal route, right?
I'm always going to be more inclined to go down the herbal pathway and natural constituents, but I do have experience with pretty much all of the racetams. And
are they legal in Australia?
It's a bit of a gray area. Like a couple of years ago, it's really,
yeah, same here in the UK, man. Don't know why they're not illegal, but at the same time they're in that middle ground of where they can't be sold in shops, but if you're in possession of them then it's not an issue. It's fucking strange. Yeah, but anyway, man, carry on with what you were going on, dude.
But what I found was, with no matter how hard I tried, and it was probably a blessing in disguise, because it definitely did push me towards like the natural compounds and more of like nutraceuticals and like just novel herbs that like no one's ever researched. But yeah, my experience with all the racetams, oxiracetam, piracetam, was quite negative. I just, no matter how hard I tried, I always got brain fog. And a lot of people would say that's because you didn't have enough choline, but I tried it with pretty much any, like all three versions of the choline precursors, CDP choline, alpha GPC and choline bitartrate. But I wasn't able to get the effects that I wanted. So it was, a little bit disappointing, but, I did experiment a little bit with, some other Russian nootropics. This is very short term, very brief. I did have a positive experience with a couple of those compounds. But right now I'm just on a mission to find the next L-theanine, or just, and like, I want to discover a new constituent. I just have this, it's like a flame. I have this intense passion and motivation to just find the next herb or next constituent that's going to improve brain function or mood or anxiety or anything. Just like, I'm just, it's a huge goal of mine. Yeah.
Yeah. There's plenty of room for this research, man. I mean, we're only just scratching the surface when it comes to nootropics and natural nootropics in particular. Like, we're only now just starting to actually take notice of a lot of the claims of anecdotal evidence from these different traditional cultures that have certain herbs within their sort of medicine cabinet. And now that we're looking into it seriously, you're like, oh shit, there's actually some pretty pretty strong effects that these things can have. And just going back to what you're saying about looking into those Russian nootropics, I was looking into it a while ago, man. I was looking, there was like this new Russian neuropeptide. I can't remember the specific name of it. And I was really intrigued by it because it's like, obviously, as much as I am all about the natural herbal realm, I do like to look into what's going on at the forefront of science. And there's a lot of interesting things out there. And I was looking at this Russian peptide. I can't remember the name, man. It's one of those. It's just, its name is just like a long number list.
Was it NSI 189 by any chance?
Oh, it's a shot in the dark, man. It could very well be. It was, but yeah, those things I feel like they could be very powerful, but I feel like it's like you're kind of like the guinea pig because these things haven't been tested before and you don't really know what the long-term effects are on them. I know that's the same with a lot of other substances, but at least with the herbal use, you know, they've been around for thousands of years and no one's fucking died of them yet. So yeah, not too bad. So in terms of the natural nootropics, man, what's your I guess like your go-to stack if you were looking at giving people some advice on your sort of favorite ones for multiple reasons? You can either say it is in a stack, or you could say it is in like the best one, best sort of bang for your buck sort of one, or just ones that have different, like a multitude of effects on your neurocognitive ability.
Yeah, good question, man. So it depends what the person is after. So like whenever somebody comes to me and they're like, Lucas, what do you have for focus or concentration? That I would answer them with a compound called uridine monophosphate, which is, it does get converted into CDP choline, which is a choline precursor, but it does have some pretty significant effects on rebuilding dopamine receptors. And I believe that every single person in this day and age needs help in the dopamine department, because just have a look at our modern world. Have a look at the way people are living. People are using stimulants. People are social media. Just always their dopamine's being hijacked. So I always suggest to people that they work on improving dopamine more so than acetylcholine, because a lot of people can get really down and really there are a lot of adverse effects from overdoing acetylcholine, and it's so common. Like a lot of people might start on like, let's say 300 milligrams of alpha GPC. They'll be great for 2 days. They might start eating a few eggs and then like all of a sudden they've tipped it over and now they're starting to feel horrible and they feel depressive, and it's just acetylcholine overload. Mm-hmm. And it's so underappreciated, that whole excess acetylcholine, but it's the real thing, and a lot of people do get affected by that. But going back to your question, in terms of, yeah, so things that improve GABA, I tend to suggest to people who want to improve verbal fluency, like whether they go out for drinks or, you know, like a social occasion, because that's obviously inhibitory and just makes you feel less inhibited in a social setting. Even though it's an inhibitory neurotransmitter, like GABA is inhibitory, mm-hmm. It makes you feel less inhibited. Like you're less in your own head, you're more present, you're more engaged with people. And I think it also would have suppressive effects on norepinephrine. So it's obviously would be dampening that real anxiety feeling that you get from excess noradrenaline, norepinephrine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, uridine monophosphate is definitely a go-to. And the best part about that is that over time, the effects become more and more apparent. it's definitely a longer term, and it's a true nootropic in my opinion, because even when you stop, you still got lingering positive effects, and that's what you want. You don't want to be, I'm starting to realize now that it's more important to take something to build you up, then you don't have to use it. That way your base, your new baseline, you've just bumped up your new baseline. Mm-hmm. So you're like, you're performing at a better level. But yeah, another one, like for hacking the flow state, I know a lot of your audience will be interested in like the flow state and stuff, but yeah, L-theanine's pretty good for that, particularly when you combine it with, you'd be familiar, yeah, with coffee. That's a beginner's nootropic stack. Yeah, and even some of the B vitamins. Man, a lot of people underestimate B vitamins in isolation. It's not very naturopathic for me to be saying this, but when you use B vitamins in isolation, for example, B1 at quite high dose, beyond 50 to 100 milligrams, can have pretty potent mental clarity effects. And it does help a lot of people with cognition, memory as well. So yeah, the B vitamins are pretty underestimated. But yeah, I think theanine for a lot of people works well, just to, you know, take the edge off coffee and help them hack into a flow state.
Yeah, I think that's why people like matcha, because obviously matcha's got the caffeine, but then it has the L-theanine in as well. So it's like that combination where it's kind of like it's in the ratio where they both work synergistically with themselves. So there's no second guessing. If like, is there too much caffeine in the coffee? And then have I got enough L-theanine that I'm taking on the side in order to balance it? So matcha is a good one to, or a proper like ceremonial grade matcha anyway. Like one of the, like obviously I've make my own supplements and shit like that. And I've got the, one of the products that I wanted to release alongside my Vitruvian protein was a herbal nootropic tea. And it had matcha, like a ceremonial grade matcha base. And then you had a lot of other sort of herbal nootropics thrown into the mix. And some of the ones that I really like are like Rhodiola rosea. I think that can be pretty potent if you get like a real high grade one. And it has to be sourced very specifically. There's a lot of them that are sourced from China, which isn't going to cut it. You need it when it's up in the Siberian highlands where it's, like what it's known for, where it like literally grows in like the harshest, in like the harshest environment. And that's what creates that, the resilience, and that's what creates the adaptogenic effects, as well as having the compounds in it to give you those nootropic effects as well, and performance enhancer. Loads of other ones like Panax ginseng, some Ayurvedic ones like Brahmi, Bacopa Moneri, Tulsi, Gotu Kola is another one. I had a really solid formula that I'm looking to get released maybe sometime this year, man. So when I get that out, I'll send you a packet over and you can give it a go, because you are the main man when it comes to this shit, and it'd be interesting to see your perspective on it. But one of the things I wanted to pull back on, man, so it was the uridine monophosphate, right? Is there anything that you would take alongside that in order to increase its sort of effect, like an auxiliary ingredient that you would stack it with?
Definitely. So the uridine monophosphate is the chief ingredient of a stack called the Mr. Happy Stack. And that stack is based around repairing the dopamine receptors and helping overall cognition, neurogenesis, neurite outgrowth. And that also really does resensitize you to coffee. So a lot of people that use this entire stack, which does have CDP choline, a very small amount, three of the B vitamins, so B6, B9, and B12. Well, in fact, they actually recommend taking an entire B complex, but you got to be careful there, because this is getting technical, but with the B complex, if it does have a little bit of choline in there, that can throw it off, because it's just, like I mentioned before, if you overdo it on the choline, you'll really ruin your experience on the Mr. Happy Stack. You don't want to be feeling depressed on the Mr. Happy Stack.
Yeah, a bit counterintuitive.
But yeah, that entire uridine is the chief ingredient, and they actually used uridine in a product called Souvenade, which is designed to treat the early symptoms of Alzheimer's and dementia. And the research is so strong for uridine, and it really does help people in so many ways. Like, it just, for me personally, my personal experience was that I no longer even need it, because it's just given me, it's definitely helped my baseline, and I'm just always hunting work to do. I'm always motivated, always like driven, focused. Yeah, it just really, really does get people into a different state. Just a higher, after 2 or 3 weeks on the stack, on the entire stack, people do really notice the difference. And I've hardly met anyone who doesn't respond well to it. So it's a really, and it's a really cheap ingredient. So a lot of people can, you know, get it online.
Any particular sources that you would sort of advise?
Yeah. Well, I am affiliated with Nootropics Depot. So Nootropics Depot, my go-to source. They are the best in the US, because they do third-party labs. And yeah, so that's definitely a good vendor. Then there's another company in the States as well, which has a formula. That's Live Cortex by Ryan Michael Barlow. He's one of my mates in the States. But yeah, it's just a really, I'm just so passionate about it, because it really was life-changing for me. And one of my friends from uni, she's now also saying that's making her feel super focused and like just very task-driven.
Yeah.
But you got to be careful though, because is that always a good thing? Like, is that, do you want to make, you know, the corporate world become more of a slave, you know, in that sort of sense? Like,
it's a tough one to balance, man, of being extremely focused and laser focused in on the subject, but then once you do that, your peripheral vision begins to get a little bit blurry, and then you miss a lot of shit along the way if you get too caught up within that end destination of research and then all this other stuff on the side. It's like that experiment, that sort of the experience that you could learn from is just wavy, and you're just boom, zoned in. And one of the, so obviously when it comes to you're saying about upregulating the dopamine production or your sensitivity to dopamine anyway, have you ever done the Braverman test?
I had a friend from Canada actually suggest it for me, but I haven't completed it yet. No.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. So for anyone that's listening that hasn't heard about this, it was developed by Eric Braverman, and he is a real famous sort of neuroscientist, I guess you would call him. And he developed this test where essentially it's a neurotransmitter dominance and what's the other word I'm looking for? And yeah, I guess like a neurotransmitter dominance test, and it shows you what you're dominant in and what you're insufficient in four main neurotransmitters, which is GABA, acetylcholine, dopamine, serotonin. And you do like this set questionnaire, and then somehow how he's developed it, you, by answering these certain questions, it works out what your main dominant neurotransmitter is, and then what your, like, your dominant that you're most deficient in. And then from there, he breaks it down and gives you like a stack of compounds. And to be honest, man, like, I was low on dopamine when I did it. Like, I think my dominant one was maybe, yeah, as you said, I think it may have been acetylcholine. It was a while ago that I'd done it, so I can't really remember, but it was like acetylcholine was high, and I think maybe dopamine was low, or maybe my GABA was high and dopamine was low. But anyway, I remember seeing that uridine monophosphate as one of the suggestions. It comes up with like 10 different compounds with the recommended dosage, depending on the severity of your deficiency. And that was really interesting. So for anyone that's listening and you want to give that a try, search up the Braverman test, or if you want to get the book, or where it goes into much more detail, it's called The Edge Effect by Eric Braverman. And if you guys give that a viewing, that would be, that's a good shout. And yeah, anyway, Lucas, continue with some of the other compounds that you were discussing, dude.
Yeah, well, just going back to the neurotransmitter profile, I feel like, and based off a lot of research, and there's a guy called Ray Pete, he's a pretty crazy scientist, but he's very big on lowering serotonin. And a lot of people are under this conception that serotonin is the happiness molecule, and it's great, having high serotonin is a good thing. But I'm not going to say that's not true, but I'm just going to...
Well, there's loads of theories. Yeah, there's loads of theories that say that the whole serotonin happiness theory is bullshit. Well, not bullshit, but I mean, like, it's not as accurate as we've been led to believe, that there's loads of other variables that are more important than serotonin in terms of being happy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I find the typical high serotonin persona or personality would be someone who's like, they procrastinate a lot. They're not very motivated. They actually are more socially anxious. There's a lot of research on excess serotonin and social anxiety. But really, Ray Pete stresses that it is serotonin and cortisol and prolactin. They're all an estrogen. They're all related, and that they're stress hormones. They really are like a stress hormone. They slow metabolism down. They just don't help mitochondrial function in any way. So,
it's interesting, because then that whole paradigm of serotonin being like the happiness molecule, like you were saying, it's pretty much cemented in place by the fact that the pharmaceutical industry sell their selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors as antidepressional drugs. And then if you look at some of the side effects of that, it ties in very nicely to what you were saying then about fucking up the metabolism. You see a lot of people that are on these, I don't even want to call it medicine, that are on these drugs that, yeah, it does really start to interfere with their metabolism. They put on weight, and yeah, if anything, does the complete opposite. And I know that's kind of simplifying things a little bit, but it's very interesting that's probably why that theory of serotonin being like one of the main sort of factors in happiness or to not cure depression, but you know what I mean by alleviate it. That's probably one of the main reasons why that theory is still taken as gospel. But there's plenty of other theories out there. It's just that's the predominant one that we're kind of originally taught, unless you go out and do your own research and look at the alternative perspectives and alternative research that's out there. But yeah, anyway, man, for continue with what you were saying, dude.
Yeah, and we also need to not overlook the fact that there's many more neurotransmitters. But the sad thing is, and the unfortunate reality is, that we cannot measure our neurotransmitters like through lab tests or blood tests. It's really, honestly, it's too hard. Like, we just don't have the technology for it, because obviously, like, it matters. Like, some people can have high levels of a certain neurotransmitter in one part of the brain, but then low in another part of the brain. Then that can severely influence their behavior and the way that they think and feel. So it's definitely, I think maybe in like 15 to 20 years time, we might have the technology to do that, but the best we can go by is what people feel, and like doing the Braverman test, and self-awareness is key, like absolute key. Just going back to my experimentations throughout the years, like, I believe the best, like, no one else knows your body better than you. Mm-hmm. Like, no one else. So that's why I always promote experimentation and tracking and really monitoring how they feel and just gain self-awareness. It's very, like, that entire process is super empowering. Like, it's the more you understand yourself and what works well for you or what doesn't work well for you is really, it's an entire process, and I really try and encourage that process. If something doesn't work out well, that if an experiment doesn't help you, it doesn't serve you, or it actually makes you worse, I actually believe that's a good thing. That's a good mm-hmm. thing, because you've just figured out what not to do. You know, like, it's, you've just figured out that this has pushed you in the wrong direction. So, and then discovering the pathways behind that. It's a fun process. It's just, it's a very geeky process, but it can be fun for a lot of people.
Man, no, I love that shit, man. And it's an important message for people to understand. It's like, people surrender their power to authoritative figures within certain fields of interest, whereas it's all on you. Just, if you do the experimentation, you don't need someone with, I mean, it helps to listen, to spark your interest. Like, for example, listening to us. I mean, but don't take our shit as gospel. Don't take what we're saying as like the bee's knees of this sort of knowledge sect. It's like, just, okay, I'll try out that uridine monophosphate. Okay, you want me to take X amount? Okay, I'm going to try that. But if it doesn't work, let's experiment. Let's do a little bit less. Let's do a little bit more and see what works for me. And it's through that direct experience that you take knowledge and transmute it into wisdom. And that's what people are lacking, is that they always just follow blindly. And it's so important to do the research as well. And then you might be like, oh, okay, so what's the pathways that initiates this whole process? Like, what's the catalysts? And you're like, oh, okay, so if that wasn't working, maybe it's not working because I've got a precursor that wasn't, or an enzyme that wasn't allowing that biochemical reaction to initiate. Okay, so let's try out that. Oh shit, that's, and it takes you just down these multiple paths, and then before you know it, you're fucking Lucas Owen, and you got and you're gonna get a fucking you're gonna become a naturopathic doctor. But it's that's such a good bit of information to kind of really advise on, man. It's that you got to do this self-experimentation, because no one else is going to do it for you. And all the studies that you read, they're good to as guidelines, but their studies put in controlled air, and it's very controlled in which those experiments are undertaken. Whereas in day-to-day life, like, it's a dynamic life. You're not static. You're not just looking at that moment in time. Like, there's going to be a lot of other variables and factors internally and externally that's going to be affecting how well you receive whatever compound that you're taking for the associated benefit that you're trying to gain from it. So it's important to take that in line as well. Plus, everyone's different. Some people, like you said, you might take someone who's got a high dopamine, and then they take some of this uridine monophosphate, and it might just blast them off and totally tip them off the other end of the scale. But if they're unbeknownst to that, if they don't know that they've got high dopamine to begin with, then it's pointless them taking something that's going to increase their dopamine levels. And that, you're only going to know that by doing the research and doing a lot of self-experimentation to get an understanding of where your baseline's at. And I feel like that's pretty daunting for most, which leads me to ask you, what would be your advice on building a foundation? What would be your go-to things to try that would be a good indicator for someone to see where they're at, to really sort of judge where they're at mentally?
Just to begin the entire process. Well, I think, but I've always said this, and this is a very naturopathic way of living, but I've always said that nootropics are the icing on the cake. They do not, they're not like the pill that you see on the movie Limitless. They're not going to like change your life overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important for people to address their sleep first. Like, sleep trumps any nootropic, period. Nothing will ever beat good quality sleep. And you get a lot of modafinil fans out there saying that they can get by on like 4 or 5 hours sleep, use modafinil every day, and they're good to go. But that is, yeah, I mean, that is a ticking time bomb, because the body, you can't cheat the body. You really cannot cheat the body. I guess it does start with sleep. For me, addressing sleep, implementing sleep hacks, implementing functional foods for sleep, and then movement and physical activity. That's a huge one, which I think everyone, obviously anyone, can benefit from that. The other one's light and light exposure, morning sunlight, sun gazing, practicing, things like that, getting outside, earthing. These are all things that you should be doing prior to using these performance enhancing brain supplements and herbs. They you will not get the benefits from them unless you really do take care of the other aspects of your life. Like, there are so many other areas that will influence brain function that you're not even aware of. Like, I was going to mention, like, hormones, they really do have an impact on brain function, and a lot of people are not appreciating that. But there's study after study that shows, for example, men with low testosterone, they obviously, they have massive mental issues. Like, they have more anxiety, they're not as confident, focused, driven. It does, and what's funny is that that hormone, it's a hormone, but it also influences, like, dopamine receptors, and there's more and more research coming out. It's all linked. The body is just, we cannot outsmart the body with these compounds, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting, man. One of my friends, I was around her house, and she has a, it's like a infographic, like, wall print, and it looks like the London tube station with all how everything's interconnected. But then you look at it deeper, and it's like, it's all to do with the human body and the meridians and different sort of chemical pathways. And it's a good way of, it's a good way of explaining it, that everything really is connected. Like, you take one thing, and it's not, although the, you may view it as you taking that thing to directly affect this thing, it's also going to be working on a lot of other shit behind the scenes. It's going to affect a lot of other pathways. And then it's always about finding balance. Like, everyone always wants that one thing that's just going to sort of upregulate everything. But then as soon as you upregulate something, something then is probably going to be lowered in the process. And it's all about finding that sort of balance. But one of the things that you touched on there, Lucas, that we, yeah, I wouldn't mind jumping into is you said about, like, sleep hacks and, like, functional foods in order to increase, to increase your sleep. Some herbs as well that I'm thinking of in my head. Just hacks in general. What's your, if we start off on the foods, man, what's your go-to for someone who's struggling with sleep?
Yeah, well, there was actually a study done on kiwi fruit and how kiwi fruit can improve sleep quality and all aspects of sleep duration and the sleep quality index. There's a certain marker that they use for measuring sleep, but two kiwi fruit about 1 hour before bed is quite effective. And I know a lot of people will be annoyed because there's a lot of sugar, like fructose, that might affect their blood sugar levels, but that's fine. Take some GDAs, take some blood sugar lowering herbs. There's herbs out there that you can use to support that. If you're smart, you use these. There are other tools you can use to hack your blood sugar. We can touch on that later, the GDAs. But kiwi fruit's a good one. Walnuts, about a couple of handfuls of walnuts are quite good. I'm not entirely sure that they do raise human melatonin levels, but they do contain trace amounts. Another one is pineapple. I did a post a while ago on pineapple fruit, and that can actually increase serum levels of melatonin. That's probably because it contains phytoserotonin, which is like a plant version of serotonin. So that's a pretty handy, another handy fruit to have in the evenings. High tryptophan foods, so turkey, that's a good one. In the evenings, it's a really handy one to utilize. That's pretty much it on the food department.
Yeah, one of the things that was that's interesting, that how I kind of view things as well. This maybe not be as scientific, but I feel like eventually there is going to be some research that connects these dots. And I had Dr. Deanna Minnick on, and we were talking about her protocol, the Rainbow Diet, in that each, like, colored foods, certain colored foods are very good for certain chakras within your body. So what I kind of relate that to then, you're talking about the pineapple being good, as it's got the serotonin. Well, obviously pineapple is yellow. Yellow is going to be for the solar plexus chakra. So that's going to be yellow. And then obviously that area is all going to be to do with your stomach, your actual colon, small intestine. And in there, that's where the majority of your serotonin is produced. So it's just that correlation. It's not causation, but correlation between yellow foods and that certain chakra within the system, and then serotonin. Just something that I just thought of then when you were telling me. I was just like, kind of rings a bell. It's very similar to what Deanna was talking about before. But also, ma'am, what's your sort of go-to herbs? Super herbs, adaptogenic, or whatever it is that you would advise on?
Okay, well, I have experimented with quite a few. One of them, let's start with ones that maybe your audience wouldn't be familiar with. So one of them's longan fruit, and that's from Chinese medicine, like TCM, traditional Chinese medicine. And that is used as a heart tonic, like a shen. It nourishes the shen. Like Chinese medicine is not really my area, but I do love delving into the way they view the body is super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, longan fruit's quite good. I had one of my friends who's, he's got a PhD in neuroscience, and he actually invented the polysomnography sleep software, which is like one of the highest grade sleep softwares that you can use to measure sleep. He actually told me that his experience using longan fruit it far exceeded a lot of other things that he's used for sleep, and he's used a lot of things. So yeah, longan fruit's quite effective for sleep. I don't use it every night, I only use it every now and then. But yeah, the other ones like Sisyphus, lemon balm, valerian, these are all just the standard.
Yeah.
Like they're good, but I'm always hunting the next. Like I'm always trying to find something else. Like I'm trying to find what else is there, because it's already established that these are good. Like what's better?
Are you are you familiar with any essential oils? Do you dabble in that at all?
Yeah. Well, personally, I'm someone who's really, really sensitive to essential oils. Like I don't know if that's from years of using lion's mane when I was a bit younger. That increases nerve growth factor. I'm thinking that mm-hmm. that may have upregulated my olfactory nerves or something. But I am very sensitive to essential oils. But there's a lot of research on essential oils influencing human physiology, and there's some pretty serious reductions in cortisol from certain essential oils, which is great, awesome for some people who have too much cortisol or elevated cortisol in the evenings. But yeah, what about yourself? Do you use essential oils or?
Yes and no, but I haven't taken it seriously yet. But I was listening to a podcast with Paul Check and Dr. Nick Barry, I believe his name is, and he runs Essential Wizardry Oils, I believe. And he is on some next level, man. Next level with his concoctions that he makes with his oil blends. And yeah, I'm very intrigued by it. And I've got a diffuser and I've got a few oils, but I haven't ever done it where I've taken it into the same sort of focus on it as I have done with all the other stuff, with like all the other supplements or foods and all the other biohacking techniques. But it's something that I really am planning on getting into. And yeah, experiment further, because I know that there's a whole new rabbit hole to explore when it comes to essential oils. And just listening to Nick talk about it, it's pretty mind-blowing the effects that it can have. And he's so articulate in the way that he can explain the effects of each and every herb and the certain terpenes and all of these different other compounds that he discusses. And you're just like, fuck, Yeah, man, that's like, that's on some other level again that we're just unaware of. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up, man, to see if you, if that is something that you've experienced or experimented with before. But yeah, so I want, what I want to move on to, Lucas, because I know that we're both into this. Obviously, we're both into fitness. We're both into being in shape, keeping the body as optimal as possible. What's your sort of go-to foods or supplements in terms of someone who's wanting to build? Yeah, let's keep it simple. Lean muscle mass.
Lean muscle mass. Okay.
Yeah, that's like one that people want to. People are always like looking for. I mean, if you type down into Google how to increase lean muscle mass, I mean, that's a pretty popular search.
Yeah. I think, well, let's just start with addressing protein. That's absolutely essential. If you think about the entire process of going to the gym, tearing your muscle fibers down, and you need adequate protein to build muscle, and there's nothing, you cannot argue against that. It's all about maintaining a positive nitrogen balance. So when you eat amino acids from foods, you want to, that's going to increase nitrogen balance in the body. So after a workout, you need to maintain that nitrogen balance to be the signal for protein synthesis and mTOR and certain pathways that trigger muscle growth and repair. So there is a lot of debate about how many grams of protein you need per kilogram, or per pound. But is there anything that you've, that you're familiar with, or like, is there a certain number you try and go for?
I'll be completely honest with you, man. I don't actually track my macros. Like, it's not something that I do. I focus more on the micronutrients and some of, and more sort of esoteric measurements to follow. But yeah, I mean, you get the common one, which is like, if you really want to go for it, it's like 2.2 gram. What was it? Oh, fuck, man, this just shows you how out of date I am with this, with the research. It's a 2.2 grams of protein per pound that you are, or something like that. Fuck, man, I don't want to fucking sound stupid on this. I should know that because I make fucking protein supplements. But yeah, I don't actually track my protein. I mean, I've got a good idea of where I'm at with what I'm eating. I've been doing this long enough now where I can pretty much look at something and I'll have an idea of the macro breakdown in my head, and some, depending the basics of the micronutrients that I can imagine being in it, and then I kind of just add it up. I would probably say that if I was to give you like a rough estimate, I'd probably say that I take about maybe 100 grams, 120 grams of protein a day, which
it's how not, much you weigh?
I'm about 80 kilograms. It's really not that, it's really not that much in terms of if you were to do like a real muscle building nutrition plan. But at the same time, it's like, I do, like, I'm pretty much on a ketogenic diet, and it's obviously, the ketogenic diet is going to be high fat, moderate protein, low carbs, so my protein is a little bit higher than what a traditional ketogenic diet would be for my weight, but still nothing. It's not crazy. Like, I obviously, you know, people that do like 180, 200 grams of protein, sometimes they're smashing down, and it's just like, yeah, I guess it's just not my goal. But what about you? What do you keep to?
Yeah, well, I'm very similar to you in that one area I've never decided to go down, and that is to track and be obsessive over how much protein or carbohydrates I eat or fats, because I'm always, every day is different. Yeah. And I eat based off what I'm doing on the day. Like, it's, if I'm working out, I'll increase my protein. If not, I don't need as much protein. Cause as Paul Check always says, like, it just slows you down, and it does, cause you don't need that much protein. And, as long as you're meeting your minimum to maintain a positive nitrogen balance, which I believe is around 1.5 grams per kilogram of body weight. That's the minimum.
That was it. That's what I was trying to fucking say earlier, but it just couldn't. I couldn't voice it out. That's the one.
Yeah, but there's even more research coming out that you can offset that with adequate carbs. And well, the reason why would be because insulin, and it's another whole rabbit hole, but insulin is more anabolic than testosterone in terms of it building muscle and repair and helping with growth and development. Insulin does have a very hypertrophic effect on muscle cells. And that's why you see a lot of bodybuilders, they are now injecting insulin. But as a naturopath, I'm always trying to find ways to improve insulin sensitivity. Now that's where I mentioned before the whole GDAs and utilizing GDAs, glucose disposal agents. And they're essentially like herbs like gymnema, bitter melon, berberine, cinnamon. All of these help your body utilize sugar more efficiently. And if you can shuttle sugar, carbs, sugar, which gets converted into glycogen, into your muscle cells, you're going to have better workout performance, better recovery, better pumps, like better cell volume optimization, as long as you've got enough fluids, because carbohydrates hold 4 times, 1 gram of carbohydrate holds four times its weight in water. So I always wonder how, when people go ketogenic, like how on earth do you get a good workout? How do you get a good pump? Because it's really, really tough.
Yeah, it's one of those, man, where it's like, because I always work out in a fasted state as well. And obviously what you want is like, you want that growth hormone release, and then the human growth hormone is what is going to initiate the release of insulin growth factor, and the insulin growth factor when it's going to take up the receptor sites of the insulin, and that's going to give you some similar effects. But in terms of getting a pump, to be honest, man, that's another thing that I don't particularly chase. Like, a lot of people want that pump in order to feel like they've got that. Yeah, they've done some damage to the muscle tissue, and then they know that there is a biochemical reaction going on. But I do a lot of strength training. So the strength training itself isn't necessarily going to give you a pump. It's one of those things like you don't feel while you're doing it. And then a few days later, that's when you feel the effects. So yeah, something to look into for sure, though, man. I mean, it'd be interesting what other people have to say about getting a, like, yeah, I know what you mean, that feeling that just swole as fuck. It's something that, you don't feel too much. I admit, you don't feel too much. But yeah, any other sort of ideas, dude, on building, yeah, lean muscle tissue when it comes to, yeah, when it comes to nutrition, when it comes to, yeah, it's sort of biohacking as well, if that's another one that you want to, route you want to go down.
I think the use of saunas is quite, there's a lot of research on using the sauna like post-workout. I know Ben Greenfield is a massive advocate for using, I'm pretty sure he uses his sauna every day. I've got one myself, I've got an infrared sauna, but I don't use it every day because it can become quite depleting and you just ruin your electrolytes. And also find that it does influence my motivation. I just feel lazy. Or like,
yeah,
super. Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's, I have my hypothesis, and I've been asking a few other geeks around why it might be that it's all here. Like, it's all in the head, where I just feel like I've got an excess of opioids, and I do. And we do, when you use the sauna, it's a stressor, it's uncomfortable, and your body will release dynorphins in response to that uncomfortable feeling. And it'll increase the number of, and these dynorphins are actually very dysphoric, like the opposite of euphoric. They make you feel pretty crappy. Like, and I find, even though I'm less stressed and I'm less reactive, like the following day, I find that using the sauna does really have a negative effect on motivation, drive. It does have, it sort of feels like it's, I'm being hugged and I feel comfortable and I'm so happy to be comfortable and lazy.
Interesting perspective on it, man. Yeah, just keeping an eye on the time, Lucas, dude. We're finish up with one more question, I think. And we're keep it pretty basic. This time, instead of building lean muscle tissue, let's go for another common question, which is for weight loss, which is the broadest question I could ask you. So you've got plenty that you can discuss if you wish.
Okay, fat loss. I honestly believe that hormones dictate body composition more than any fad diet or any supplement. However, in saying that, there are supplements and things that you can definitely utilize to help shift and manipulate your hormones in a direction that will help with fat loss. So obviously things that improve leptin sensitivity, insulin sensitivity, increasing, or depend if you're a guy, increasing testosterone, DHT, lowering estrogen, supporting your body to detox as well. I think that's very underestimated, and making sure your elimination pathways are all in check. So making sure that you,
that's a real good one, man. Just that, that's one of the things that no one ever talks about when it comes to weight loss, is like your liver health. Like, that goes completely over most people's heads.
Yeah, liver health and detoxifying the body from heavy metals and toxins is gonna help your body be more efficient in every single way. And there's lots of studies on how heavy metals can affect detox pathways and enzyme efficiency and things like that. But I do encourage people to utilize thermogenic aids, so things that enhance the number of calories burnt during your training. Because I'm a big believer in things like caffeine is the number one example. If you're going to exercise, you might as well use a thermogenic aid to support the number of calories you burn during the exercise and also after. So there's actually a pepper. There's a pepper that's very underrated and hardly anyone knows about it. It's called Grains of Paradise and it's from West Africa, and it does have the ability to increase energy expenditure by, I think, up to 15%, which is,
wow,
which is enough. Which is, and it also shifts.
So is that, what's the active compounds in it that allows it to do that?
It is 6-paradol, which is also found in ginger, but Grains of Paradise is a pepper, similar to black pepper. So you got to be careful, anyone using this, that if they're taking any herbs and stuff, it does influence liver enzymes. So they need to be careful, but, it's, the scientific name is Aframomum mellicuta, and it's used in West Africa, and there's quite a lot of research on it for enhancing whole body thermogenesis, shifting the conversion of white adipose tissue to brown fat, to like help your body burn more fat from burn more calories from your fat. Wow. Yeah, so Grains of Paradise is a pretty cool, that's another functional pepper. If you're gonna use
whereabouts
a pepper,
whereabouts can you grab that? Is there any specific sources that you know of?
There is a source, I'm not sure if it's available in the UK, but I think it's Herbie's Spices,
okay.com,
but I'm working on it. I'm trying to get it listed on my site to sell as well, because it's a cool pepper. Like, if you're going to use a pepper for dinner,
why not? Yeah, why would you not use it?
Yeah, well, and it's been used for thousands of years by the West Africans, so safety is quite good. And that's also, ironically, that pepper is also good for men, because that also in rat studies, it does have significant effects on increasing testosterone and spermatogenesis and all other things.
Wow.
For male health. Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's fucking solid. Dude, yeah. Lucas, man, I love this one, man. I wish we could go a little bit longer, but I am for once actually tight for time, which is strange. I'm always the one that's trying to bleed the time out of my guests. But yeah, just we will tie this one up with one final question, which is, if you could advise on one practice, and this can be physical, mental, or spiritual, when it comes to increasing human performance or optimizing yourself on any layer that you wish to discuss, what would it be and why?
I think the number one thing for everyone is to understand thyself, improve their own self-awareness. Mm. Because without that, what can you do? How can you make change if you do not understand yourself and your own awareness? Like, whatever intervention you deploy, how are you going to know if it's good if you're all over the joint and you've got no like self-awareness of what, just understanding your own self. I think that's, if anyone can utilize like meditation or any sort of practice, that mindfulness, anything that helps with self-awareness, mm-hmm. that's always going to benefit them. Whatever they're doing, whatever job they're doing, their training, whatever, I think self-awareness is really number one.
That's solid, man. That's a solid answer. I ride on with that as well. I think that's very important for people to increase their self-awareness. I think otherwise you can spend hundreds of pounds, dollars on supplements, on the best foods that you can get, but then if you haven't got that foundation of self-awareness to really be able to analyze what's working and what's not, and just to be able to be present and understand the effects that it's having within you, it's almost like it's going to waste, because you don't really know what's working and what's not, especially if you stack so much shit up. Like, that's one of the things with doing the biohacking realm. It's like, it's easy just to get lost within just stacking protocol after protocol after protocol on top of supplement on top of supplement on top of supplement, and you kind of get lost. And that's the thing, like, everyone's got these aura rings, which is, it's like, yeah, everyone's on them, but just my personal belief is, like, I don't need a piece of technology to tell me what my body, when you're connected to your body, knows. Like, your body is far smarter than a piece of metal that's placed around your finger. Like, you've got an innate intelligence inside of you that, if you know how to tap into, that will tell you things that a piece of technology could never do. But the language that it uses to express those, to express that, is not the language that we are familiar with. So that's why most people can't understand or communicate with their body correctly, because they haven't taken the time to learn its language and then develop that communication link between their mind, body, and spirit. And when you do that, that's when you can start really being able to take full power and charge of what's working and what's not, because you'd be much more sensitive to it. But yeah, man, that's a great answer, man. And I really appreciate your insight into that. And just overall, dude, I really appreciate your insight into everything, man. You're smart as fuck with this. And it's great to have you on. I've been wanting a podcast like this for a while, where I can get into the nuts and bolts when it comes to this sort of realm of interest. And yeah, I was really looking forward to this one, and hopefully it was good for you as well, man. Hopefully you enjoyed it for your first podcast. Like I said, first of many. I've managed to take your podcast virginity, which is going to be something that I'll treasure forever. I'll let people know when you're big time fucking on stage talking about this stuff. I'll be like, I had him first. So anyway, Lucas, so man, I really appreciate you coming on, man, and we're going to have to do this again sometime, and we can,
sure.
there's plenty of other rabbit holes that I know that me and you can explore together, and hopefully everyone has enjoyed it as well. I'm sure if they've stuck around, they're they're definitely into this one. And for everyone that has loved this, Lucas, and aren't familiar with where to sort of catch up with you, if this that obviously their first introduction to you, you mentioned your website earlier, but if you can just say that again, and some like your social media handles, any other sort of avenues that they can get in touch with you from, yeah, anything, Luke.
Sure, man. Yeah, well, thanks again for having me on your show. But yeah, it's been awesome. But and there's plenty more we can touch on. So yeah, thanks again. But so my website is ergogenichealth.com.au, and my Instagram is just ergogenic_health. And yeah, I'm very committed to sharing content that I've shared today on my Instagram, and I've got 600 plus posts scheduled. So
there's plenty more to come. That's gonna be a few years if you do one. Yeah. How many times do you post a day?
I'm only doing two a week.
Fuck, yeah. We're set for the next decade then. Shit.
Yeah.
That's great, man. 600 posts.
Yeah, they're all just lined up. Like, I haven't written them out, but they're the ideas, and every day I just add to it. But I might increase my frequency.
You should do, man.
Take off. Yeah.
Get it going daily, dude. That's
that'll blow
you up so much quicker. I mean, your knowledge set, man, is on some next level compared to other people within this realm that have got thousands and thousands of followers, and you've got the you've got that knowledge out there. You should write a book as well, man.
Maybe one day. Yeah.
One day, man. I know you got a lot on your plate. So anyway, dude, let's tie this one up. So guys, hopefully you've enjoyed this one, as I always say. Stay woke as fuck, and I'll catch you on the next episode.